Okay, brethren, let me ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at the treasure and the pearl this hour. And Lord willing, next hour we will look at three applications of the blood. I'm looking forward to both messages. They've both been a blessing to me, so I hope they will be to you as well. Matthew 13, verse 44. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And He says again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, as we've done before in these parables, we've looked to see, first of all, how the parable applies to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then secondly, how it applies to the Lord's people. That's what we'll do this morning. The first thing we're looking at is the treasure hid in a field. And first of all, God's elect children are the treasure hidden in the field. The treasure of God, the treasure of His Son, the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, the Lord is declaring that He has a people, that He has chosen a people for Himself from among all the people in the earth to save them out of the people of the earth, that He's reserved for Himself before the world ever began. When He promised to save a people, when He promised Abraham that He would save a people, He told him to look into the sky and look at the stars, and He told him that, He said, "Your children are going to be more in number than the stars." He said, "Can you number those stars? They're going to be a number that you can't even count, Abraham." And throughout the Scriptures, we find that even amongst the household of Abraham, Abraham had two sons. One was Ishmael. He had her by a bondwoman. And Ishmael was the product of Abraham, the work of Abraham and Sarah, their idea of how they would have the promised son. And the Lord said, "Ishmael's not the son of promise." And He cast Ishmael out. He said, "Isaac is the son." Isaac was the promised one. Isaac was given of God. Isaac was chosen of God. Isaac was born of God. That describes the elect of God. It pointed to Christ the Lord. We know that. Paul said in Galatians, the promises were made to thy seed. One seed, and that seed's Christ. It's who Isaac pictured. But what my point I'm making to you is not all the natural sons of Abraham were the children of God. He said, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." God chooses whom He will, and He puts them in Christ before the world began. And He created that nation, Israel. And He said, "I did it to show you how I save my people. I form the nation. I deliver them out of bondage. I carry them through the wilderness. I bring them into the promised land." And that's what our Lord does. And His children are the treasure hidden in the field. He said this, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels." They're His jewels. They're His treasure. In Deuteronomy 32:9, the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure. It means His chosen treasure. It means the treasure He has hidden. By divine electing grace, He hid this treasure. And the field described here is the world. We saw that before in one of the parables. Look back at verse 38. The Lord is talking about one of these parables, and He says the field is the world. The field is the world. God scattered. He scattered the children of Israel into the world, that physical nation. And He said, when I send forth the Redeemer, when I send forth Christ the seed, I'm going to gather them out from the four corners. His elect. He's going to call them through the gospel, through the truth of Christ the Lord, and bring them to Himself. And He manifests from the very beginning. You know, Abraham wasn't a Jew. Abraham was in the land of from Ur of Chaldee. He was there was no such thing as Israel at that time. No such thing as that nation. And God's children all come from Adam. All from Adam. Jew and Gentile. Male and female. All from Adam. And all died in Adam. When He sinned, we sinned. When He died, we died. And we're scattered out of the... Just as God cast Adam out of the garden into the world. The nation was scattered when God was done with it. Israel, when He was done with it. And now Christ has come and He's begun to gather His children from the four corners of the earth. That's what the Scriptures declare to us. That's what Christ has said the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Again, here in verse 44, He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Christ Jesus is the man. God in human flesh. You can't see God. He's spirit. But He communicated Himself to us in the Scriptures. He created a world to communicate Himself to a people made of flesh. And He came in the flesh. And He made us to behold Him in the flesh. To behold who He is. And we see the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And the reason that... And there's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile who's spiritually dead. There's no difference whatsoever. The reason that the children of Israel, the national people of Israel, rejected Christ when He came... It's because He wasn't what they imagined He would be like when He came. He came as a babe in a manger. He came from poor parents. He came through a just a meek and lowly way. And yet He's the King. But you know, look, God said that from the beginning. You know where David was? David is the king in Israel who typified Christ the King to come. And you know where... When Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse, he went to all the boys. Jesse said, this must be the one you want right here. He's my big, fine, strapping boy. And Samuel said, no, that's not the one. And he went through all his sons to David. And David was out there tending sheep in the back of the field somewhere. And Jesse's thinking, you mean David's the king? God was declaring from the beginning, my king's not going to be like anything like you imagine with your feeble mind. And that He's not. He's not. But He's the King. And He came for joy. The Hebrew writer said, look unto the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The throne of God. For this treasure, He came and He sold everything He had. Christ did. The Scripture says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be made rich. It cost Him everything He had. He came to this sin-cursed earth from heaven's glory. God came down. He condescended to a people who had no goodness in them. He condescended to a people that had done nothing good, nothing to earn His favor. That's what grace is. You know that? He was despised and rejected of men. He was made sin for His people. The wrath of God was poured out upon Him. He poured out His blood. That was the purchase, the price of the purchase that had to be made. The wages of sin is death. And He paid the wages. He paid the debt that His people owed. And He died in their place. And He bought them. He purchased them. And when He did that, He bought the whole field. He bought the entire field. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him might not perish but have everlasting life. He created the world in the beginning, and sin entered in by man. It didn't surprise Him. But just as He makes all things new, He bought the world, and He's going to make the world new. He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. Everything's going to be made new by Him. When He ascended on high, look at Psalm 2. I want you to see this. Now, make sure you understand, He didn't purchase, He didn't make satisfaction for everybody in this earth. He didn't put away the sins of every person in the earth. He bought the field. He made satisfaction for His treasure, for His children. But He did buy the field and the deed. You know what happens when you buy a field? You get the deed to it. That means you own it. You can do whatever you want to in that field. And nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. He bought the field. He owns the world. He said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." Look here now in Psalm 2, verse 8. This is what the Lord said. This was spoken years before He came and by David, and He was declaring what Christ would do when He came. Look at this now. He says, verse 6, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." Now look at this next verse. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." It's His. It's His, brethren. He said, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he might give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And the Lord shall gather out his chosen, he shall gather out his redeemed, he shall gather out his treasure, and not one's going to be lost." Look over at Isaiah 43. Back in the days before there were banks, men often hid their treasure in the earth. That's where this parable is coming about. This is something that the Lord's disciples understand plainly. Men would hide their treasure in the earth. And He's saying this is like to a man that went and he found that treasure hidden in the field. And he bought the field. He bought it. And he took it. You know, there is a sense in which this treasure belonged to somebody else. When Satan entered the garden and Adam sinned, the children of God, in earth, as the earth stood and in the earth, became the lawful captives of Satan. They had to be bought. His head had to be crushed. The wages had to be paid and had to be taken from him. And they were taken from him. He made speed to the spoil. He's taking the spoils from him. This is his treasure. But he hid this treasure. He knows exactly where it is. And Christ will gather every one of them out. Look at this. Isaiah 43:4. "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east. I'll gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the end of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I made him." See, God's going to save every one of His people. Not a one's going to be lost. Nothing's ever taken Him by surprise. Sin didn't enter in and scare Him. Satan didn't enter the garden and sneak up on God. He's been in charge of everything. But now let's look at the second thing here. The Lord Jesus Christ is the treasure of the believer. He's the one pearl of great price. Look over at Colossians 2. Whenever Christ begins revealing Himself in us through the gospel, it's like finding treasure in a field. Look over at Colossians chapter 2. And look at verse 3. He's talking about the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. This is what I'm declaring to you. This is a mystery. It's hidden. It's a hidden mystery, this gospel is. But when He begins to make you to understand this, He says, this mystery of God the Father and of Christ, you find out that it's in Him, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures. Look over at Luke 24, verse 32. Luke 24, verse 32. You see, this gospel's got to be revealed. It's by divine revelation. This is what's offensive about the gospel. It's that God's going to get all the glory. God does the choosing. Man doesn't do the choosing. God does the saving. Man don't do the saving. God does the calling. And only then does a man call on Him. God does the drawing, and only then will a man approach God. God has to reveal who He is in the heart, and only then does a man have wisdom. So then, we got none. Oh, we think we got some. We think we're wise and nobody can tell us anything. But we're ignorant of our own ignorance until God makes us to know who Christ is. Those men on that road to Emmaus, they were walking along and Christ had come and He'd laid down His life and He'd gone back ascended back to the Father, or He had raised from the dead, and He came to them on the road to Damascus and He walked with them on the road to Damascus. Our Lord does this now. He said, where two or three are gathered in My name, I'm there in the midst of them. And He walks with His people. He communes with His people. And as He walked along and He talked to them, look at Luke 24, verse 31. And it says, verse 31, and their eyes were open and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. He'd been talking to them about the Scriptures. He'd been opening the Scriptures to them. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? This is how this you get this hidden wisdom and knowledge, is by Christ opening to us the Scriptures. That's right. Now this next parable in our text, it may describe the singleness. I think it describes the singleness of heart that God gives the believer, that He creates within the believer. It describes this singleness of heart. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Matthew 13:45. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Every believer here will tell you this. Weren't we like the merchant man? We were trying to strike bargains. We were looking for a deal. We were seeking some goodly pearls, trying to get rich, and trying to set our nest on high so we could be saved from poverty, saved from this world, saved from God's wrath, saved from everything. We were trying to do it ourselves. And we had what we thought were some goodly pearls. We had a few treasures in this world that we looked upon and we thought, that's gonna provide for me now as I go through this world, through this earth. That's going to be my safety. That's going to be my salvation. We had some good religious goodly pearls. We thought, well, we've joined the church, or we've joined the synagogue, or we've joined this organization or that organization. We've joined this religion or that religion. We got us a goodly pearl now. Oh, we got a whole denomination behind us. We thought, well, we got the Bible. We've been reading it. We've sought life in this, sought what we ought to do and not to do, and we've been doing it. We've been doing what we ought to and doing what we ought not to do. A lot of goodly pearls. We're wrapping those pearls all around us. Made a lot of change about our lives. Decided we're going to straighten up and fly right. But by God's grace, by His grace, He came to where we were, and He made Christ to be the one pearl of great price. You ask a believer how valuable Christ is to him. Ask a believer how valuable Christ is to him. Would you look at Ephesians 1? Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Oh, Paul was a Jew. He had a bunch of goodly pearls. He had his mom and daddy had circumcised him the eighth day. He had made a bunch of sacrifices. He had gotten old enough, and he thought he'd done a lot of good things. He thought he kept the law. He had Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin. But then God made him to know this one pearl of great price. And here's what he said. And he's writing to Gentile. He knows now this thing's not about just a physical nation. He knows this is a spiritual nation. He knows this is a heavenly kingdom. He knows this Jerusalem's above, which is the mother of us all, which is free. And he says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Oh, you ask a believer, how valuable is Christ? All spiritual blessings were given us in Christ. All of them. All of them. "According as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him." You know what that means? That means that when Adam fell in the garden, and I fell in Adam, and I sinned in Adam, And I was born, conceived in sin, and came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies against God, walking around all the days of my rebellion, haughty and shaking my fist at God and thinking I knew who God is and knowed everything and had the world by the tail on a downhill drag. Even then, I was before God in Christ, holy and without blame. That's one pearl of great price. If He didn't love me simply by His grace, simply because He put me in Christ, He certainly would have never loved me because of anything in me. This sinful wretch is accepted by the Holy God. Been adopted. Look at verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." God adopted me, His child, to Himself by Jesus Christ. I'm His son because Christ is His son. That's a pearl of great price. When Christ can stop being His son, I can stop being His son. That ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Oh, look at verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through His blood." I have it. I have it. I have the redemption. He's purchased me. He bought me. He bought the field. He bought me when He bought the field. "I have the forgiveness of sin." all according to the riches of His grace, this pearl of great price. Look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have it. We have it. Our inheritance can never be taken away because it's God who predestinated us to have the inheritance. And this is Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. Before He made the first grain of sand, the first grain of dust, before He spoke anything into existence, He ordered all this according to the counsel of His own will, and He did it all in His beloved Son, Christ the Lord. And that's all my hope. All my hope. In Lamentations, and I tell you, there had never been a person saved outside of this hope. This was Abel's hope. This was Noah's hope. This is the ark Noah was in. That's right. This is Abraham's lamb that he brought when he was going up that mountain with Isaac. That what he saw caught in the thicket and took the place of Isaac. This is that lamb. This is David's king. He said, "The Lord said to my Lord." Just read the scriptures. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." He's the king. This is David's Lord. And in Lamentations, Solomon, this is Solomon's Lord. He said, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." You know, nothing will empty the hand, your hand, and my hand. Nothing will empty our hand of fool's gold until we meet this pearl of great price. Nothing. You'll hold on to a false refuge, to what you think is gold and silver and precious stones, until you meet this one pearl of great price. He says, when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Our Lord said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. The rich young ruler came to the Lord, and he had in his hands some goodly pearls. He was rich. He was young. He had his health. And he was a ruler. That meant he was a teacher in Israel. He was a scribe. He was among the Pharisees. And he said, "What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Keep the law. Keep the law. In thought, word, and deed, keep the law, and you'll enter in." He said, "I've done it from my youth up." And the Lord said, "One thing thou lackest. One thing." You know what he was missing? The one pearl of great price. And he loved those goodly pearls and those riches he had in his hands so much, he went away sorrowful because he couldn't let them go. He couldn't let them go. But you know, Levi was just like him. Matthew, he was just like him. He was a tax collector sitting at the receipt of customs. He was robbing the people. He was collecting taxes for Rome, and at the same time that he was collecting taxes for him, he would have been a good politician in the state of New Jersey because he's getting a kickback for everything he did. That's right. And he was making money hand over fist, hand over fist, hand over fist. And Christ came to him, and with one word, one command, "Follow me," Christ opened up his eyes and made him to behold the pearl of great price, Christ Jesus the Lord. And Luke said he left everything. And then he rose up from where he was sitting and he followed Christ. And he had that big old house where he built, making all from all that fraud. And he called all his friends, Jew and Gentile, he called them all into his house. Harlots and respectable folks from the top to the bottom, from the most well-respected to the most deplorable people. He called them all into His house. And He said, come in here, I want you to meet the pearl of great price. And the Pharisees had their hands full of all their tradition and all their traditions handed down through to them by men. And they looked at the Lord sitting in that house with all those disrespectful people and those people that they esteemed as nobodies and nothings because they didn't measure up to what they thought was righteousness. And they said, why in the world does He eat with publicans and sinners? And He said, I didn't come to call those that are whole. They don't need a physician. You don't go to the doctor when you're not sick. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. If you're righteous by your law obedience, you're righteous by your will worship, God didn't come to call you. He said, I came to call sinners to repentance. And Levi said, that's me, fellas. That's me. And this is the pearl of great price. And you can have the receipt of customs. You can have your tax collecting. You can have all your treasures you want to have. You can take it all. I'm going with Him. I got something that can't be taken away from me. I've told you this story. I like to tell it to you. I borrowed this from Pastor Henry Mahan, but you all have met Brother Marvin Stoniker. His daddy owned a fish restaurant down in Alexandria, Louisiana. And he was there one time, and there was a little boy there, and this little boy had a corn cob. And he'd already eaten all the corn off of it. And it just butter was dripping all down his arm and it getting him all nasty. And his daddy was ready to go. And his parents were getting up. They were getting ready to go out. And the little boy would not let go of that old greasy, buttery corn cob. He didn't have any corn left on it. It was all gone. He just was sucking the butter out of that cob. And they tried everything they could to get that fellow to let go of that corn cob, and he wouldn't let it go. He just held on to it. The harder they tried to get it out of his hand, the harder he held on to it. And Mr. Stoniker walked up and he said, can I try something? They said, sure. And he reached from behind his back with a big old Hershey bar and held it out to that little boy, and he dropped that corn cob like that and latched onto that Hershey bar. When Christ makes Himself known in your heart, you'll let go of that corn cob and you'll grab the pearl of great price and you won't let go. I promise you that. Where's your treasure? You still holding on to your goodly pearls? Or have you found the pearl of great price? Let me show you something back there in Matthew 16, verse 25. This is how the Lord put that. He said in Matthew 16, 24, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any will come after Me, let him deny himself. That means let go of all your goodly pearls. Let go of everything else that you think is righteousness. Take up his cross. You're going to bear some reproach for this. Folks don't like this gospel. And you're going to suffer for it. But that's all right. He said, follow Me. For whosoever will save his life, hang on to his goodly pearls, he'll lose it. He'll lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. You let go of that which you think is life for Christ, you'll find life. Find life. And He said, for what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? When you get to the end, all your goodly pearls, they're going to be no good with God. You're not going to be able to redeem your soul with anything you've got. Not your will worship, not our works that we've done, nothing. We're not going to be able to come to God. He's going to get all the glory for saving everybody that He saved. And that glory is going to go to His Son. And look at it, He says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels." He's coming again. "And then He shall reward every man according to his works." What does He mean by that? Thought you just said we couldn't be saved by our works. I tell you what He said in Mark 8:38. This is how Mark recorded the same incident. He said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and of My words," of Me and My gospel, "in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels." Are you like Mary? He said, "Martha, Martha." He said, "You cumbered about, careful about so many things." She was trying to serve. And He said, "But one thing is needful." And He said, "Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her." The Apostle Paul, he said, "What things were gained to me, I counted them loss for Christ." All those goodly pearls he had as a fine upstanding Jew, he was getting his marching orders, his letters directly from the Sanhedrin. I mean, he was next in line to become the chief of the chief. And when Christ made him to know that he's the pearl of great price, he said, "I count everything lost for Christ." And he said, "And everything I've given up," he said, "it's dung." That's all it is. It's dung. It's not worth anything. It's refuse. It's worthless. Every bit of it. And he said, "I don't want to be found in my own righteousness. I want to be found in the righteousness of Christ." Where do you want to be found? Oh, if you don't have this pearl of great price, I pray. Here's my prayer to God for you. I pray God will not let you have 1 minute's sleep. I pray He makes your life utterly miserable. I pray He strips you of every vain confidence you have, every vain hope you have, every vain idea you have, every vain imagination you have, every foolish, ignorant thought you have about who God is and how God saves. And if He does that, and He makes you to behold Christ, you will say, "Clay, that is the best that anybody could have ever asked for me, for God to do that for me." That's right. Now, if He is your pearl of great price, look at Colossians chapter 3. If He is your pearl of great price, you who know Him and believe Him, let go of the field. Just let go of everything else you have. All your goodly pearls. This is what he says, Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There's that hidden treasure. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And he tells us there, put off that old man with his deeds and all that envy and strife and carry it on. And look down at verse 12. Put on, therefore, brethren, as the elect of God. You got everything. All things are yours. You got nothing to fight with the folks over. Just remember, folks that want to fight and argue, this is all they got. all they're going to have. Don't fight and argue. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How'd He forgive you? Freely. Freely. You didn't have to do anything to earn forgiveness. He said, forgive that way. Verse 14, He says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's our rule, the peace of God, to the which also you're called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Who's those psalms about? About Christ. And hymns, who's those hymns about? Christ. Spiritual songs, who those spiritual songs about? Christ. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? And no reason to try to strive after the riches of mammon. We got the pearl of great price. Amen.